chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I am thrilled to have Frank Bell on the show today. Frank is the founder of Inspire CIO Leadership Network. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. So Frank, welcome to the Something Extra podcast. I've really been looking forward to having you on the show.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
So just to kind of start out here, you and I are connected in several ways. I mean, we're both YPOers. And for our listeners that don't know about YPO, Young Presence Organization, Global Organization of Leaders, we're also connected through Inspire, and we're going to talk a lot about that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how your path in life sort of takes you to meet very interesting people that oftentimes you find that you're so well connected to, and you never knew it until you had that conversation.
It's exciting. Well, I'm looking forward to discovering how else we're connected. But now I know you're in Atlanta. You're in Atlanta today. I'm in St. Louis. Did you grow up in Atlanta? I know you went to university in Florida. You went to Stetson.
I grew up in Atlanta, a fifth generation Atlantan. Although I did go to college in Florida, I consider Atlanta home, and parents and grandparents were all born and grew up in Atlanta.
But you know, Frank, before we really get started, I told you I kind of want to dig into this about your grandfather. Your grandfather is L. Allen Morris, and you talk about him, and he was a huge influence in your life. It bought you your first Apple computer. Can you tell us a little bit about your grandfather?
He was my hero. I was the first grandchild, and so I got him all to myself for the first 4 or so years of my life. And I couldn't remember the name for grandfather, so I referred to him as my big daddy, because he was large stature and older and a great grandfather in so many ways. He was one of the very first members of YPO and was the chairman of that Florida chapter very early on in life. And I knew a whole lot about YPO from his experiences and then my uncle's experiences over the years. And so when I started Intellinet as an IT consulting firm in the early 90s, one of my bucket list goals was to grow that to at least $10 million in revenue and 50 employees, which were the two requirements at the time. They've changed since. To earn that YPO status. It was much easier to earn the revenue than it was to hire 50 people.
Yes.
But once in YPO, I have cherished that organization and its commitment to helping members build community and build relationships with other business leaders. That has been incredibly valuable exposures to, and some of YPO members are some of my best friends.
Well, that's going to come into play later, even with what maybe inspired you a little bit about what you're doing today. As I was kind of digging into your grandfather, you describe him as generous, creative. He was a big thinker, endless resourcefulness. And he founded the L. Allen Morris firm, which is a huge real estate. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But what really just got me is I know Allen's daughter, Liesl, has kind of said a very similar thing about L. Allen Morris that you just said about your grandfather. You guys share the grandfather. But here's what she said: that one time when she was a little girl, she'll never forget being in her grandfather's office And he told her, "You are one of the brightest little kids I know. When you grow up, you can be anything you want to be." And she said that that set her on a trajectory for her life. Just those words from her grandfather. You know, words matter.
The things we say to our kids, to our spouses, to others, that we believe in them and that we trust them and that we love them, can take people a long, long way.
They really, really can. I mean, they can take people a long way. They can change someone's life, truly. So the lesson there is we need to be careful with our words. So I got so intrigued by this. I kind of felt like I was doing ancestry.com or something, you know, Frank, on this. But your great-great-grandfather was Jack. And I read this story about L. Allen Morris. They were hunting. L. Allen Morris was a scout at the time. And he told your great-grandfather, he goes, "You know, I really haven't been putting that much into it." And your great-grandfather said, "Anything worth doing is worth doing well." You said that's even kind of a family motto that has been passed down. You guys have now had four generations of Eagle Scouts. I don't know. The legacy there is just so intriguing to me. It's really cool.
We've since worked that saying a little bit in the family to say anything worth doing is worth overdoing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let's fast forward to Intellinet, because you've already alluded to that. You founded Intellinet. You ran that firm for 25 years. But I did read, Frank, that you guys got 75 worldwide, national, and regional awards that Intellinet has been given since 1993. When you founded the company. So that's just crazy. But you talk about being very purpose-driven with a deep commitment to values creation. Can you tell us a little bit about the culture there? What inspired you to found the company? What were you thinking in terms of what you want this to look like? Why has it been so successful?
When you think about, a lot of people think about technology, they think about the bits and the bytes. But ultimately, the value from technology comes when it helps people. And so when you build a firm that is about helping people, and it helps them on the micro level to learn how to code or to learn how to project manage or learn how to deliver a solution for a client. But then that solution is helping the employees at that organization to serve their customers or to make money or to build value. Ultimately, you know, any technology that doesn't help people is not particularly helpful. So when you realize it's a people business, technology is simply the thing that you're working on. But, you know, it's a lot like construction. You know, you conceive of a plan, you build the plan, you manage the plan, you figure out what's the next thing you're going to build.
Yeah, and I know that you even said, like, when your grandfather gave you that Apple computer, that really, you did see technology as a way to improve lives, you know, and that's our tagline. Frank, there's another thing you and I are connected on. Our tagline is, "Together we are improving the world by harnessing the power of technology."
That Apple II computer showed up unannounced one evening on the front doorstep of my house when I was in seventh or eighth grade. And I was like, over the moon. I had a friend that had an Apple II and would go over to his house all the time and we would play games on it and we'd code things and we'd get in all kinds of trouble. My grandfather was an avid investor outside of his real estate investments. He taught me to manage his portfolio, or not his complete portfolio, but a portfolio of stocks that he sort of assigned to me to log into Dow Jones and to print out reports and graphs and charts. And if you don't have a problem to solve with, you know, with a computer, it's like having a toolbox and nothing to build. You know, you learn to use the tools in the process of solving a problem. So it really helped me kind of discover, you know, how to make the computer usable from the time that you started it up to a menu of programs. And it just sort of fascinated me that technology had the potential to change the world at a very young age. So I was really drawn in it. He planted the seeds of my technology beanstalk for sure.
I just love that. What a beautiful story. So I have to ask you though, how did you do with his little chunk of portfolio? Did you do well for him?
I didn't. I made no decisions about the investments. I simply sort of managed the performance and printed out really cool charts and graphs. So awesome. I clearly did not catch the investing bug, but I did appreciate the opportunity to use technology to print out reports that he seemed to enjoy.
Yes, and that he could draw insights from, right? And make better decisions. So that's awesome. So I know with Intellinet, and it just kind of goes back knowing you, the little bit that I have, Frank, you're all about people. So I know, like, you guys had an arm, Intellinet Serves. And I read you've donated over 1.25 million. It may even be more than that now over the life of the company. Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, I'm sure that's been a great joy.
It has been. Well, I mean, ultimately, I mean, my perspective is that God owns it all. And so we're our managers more than we are owners. And finding ways to use the time and the talent and the treasure to help other people is far more rewarding. You know, most people in life are on a happiness quest that often turns up empty, but you find joy when you give it away, when you help somebody, when you give your time or your talent away. And sometimes it's treasure as well. But it's interesting that the joy comes from giving it away, not from gathering it for yourself.
That's beautiful. I love that. Well, let's fast forward a little bit to what you're doing today. So in 2014, you and Jonathan Fry joined forces to expand the CIO of the Year Orbi Awards and launch Inspire CIO. So tell us about the Orbi Awards. Tell us a little bit about what it is, Frank, and what inspired you to launch this.
It came from a CIO of the Year Award that Intellinet developed and presented in 1998. And then after a few years of presenting that award, some of the large company CIOs in Atlanta came to me and said, would you consider hosting some meetings for us year round? And I said, well, how would that work? Would we have sponsors for them? And they said, you know, full stop, no. Let's figure out what it costs and we'll pay for it. We understand that, you know, having an awards program and having 1,000 people there is awesome for the community, but the rest of the year, let's do things that are CIO only. So we came up with two criteria to become a member of this Georgia CIO Leadership Association. And much like YPO, it was that you had to be the top technology decision maker, and then your organization had to have at least $100 million in revenue. And so those two criteria remain today to become a member of a local Inspire CIO chapter, and there's 25 around the country, and there's about 1,000 members. The majority of members are from, you know, billion-dollar-plus organizations, but you can join with an organization as small as $100 million. But that idea came from, you know, recognizing CIOs who were doing things right, because we felt like if everything works perfectly in the CIO role, nobody notices. You know, you only are noticed when something doesn't go right. So rewarding that and then building a community that could inspire leaders, because all of these CIOs are working on similar problems. You know, they have the same Legos, the technology products and services available to them. And it's who puts them together in the most creative ways that creates the most value for their business. And for most people, the value is falling off the tree. They can sit in a room with others that have similar problems or have a similar pile of Legos and say, oh, don't do this, do that. Look at this, look at that. And it doesn't cost them anything. It's sort of a shared success model. If you light one candle off another, it might have been difficult to create that first flame. But then when you share what you've lit with others, then it's a pay it forward mentality. But the folks that are on the receiving end of that, that are beneficiaries of solving a problem for them, are forever grateful and looking for ways to pay you back at some point for the value they've, you know, experienced from you. And so that's what creates kind of this virtuous cycle within our chapters, where these members become friends over the course of time. And this becomes a place where they not only go deeper in relationship, but then also go wider, because there's always new folks coming into the profession and folks moving on into board roles and other things. But those communities are almost like a terrarium. One of my favorite first grade science projects, where you put the moss and the gravel and the things in a little bit of water in an enclosed container with a glass top, and then the thing just grows on its own. And so if we help nurture that along, it grows even faster. It's interesting to observe that leaders just kind of make each other better. I think that's the way with any leaders. Like leaders, you put them in a room together, they will make each other better, because they will talk about the things they're working on and the way they're solving problems. And it just draws them closer together. I think people have far more in common. And then especially those leaders that think about shared success versus like, oh, I'm only winning at your expense.
Right.
You know, some people kind of have that zero sum mentality, and it's a little difficult to develop relationships with someone that's coming into a relationship thinking I'm only winning if you're losing, versus you think about it, every organization in a community finds better ways, finds more efficient ways to run their business, and their businesses are more profitable, then the stock price goes up everywhere and everybody in the community succeeds because everybody's become better.
Oh, I could not agree more with that. Well, you know, Frank, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want you to tell our listeners, like, where does Orbi come from? You know, so we'll talk a little bit more about that and the opportunities, by being in this community. But we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Frank Bell.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
So welcome back to the Something Extra podcast with Frank Bell. So Frank, I'm so excited about this because we just launched a chapter here in St. Louis last year with Inspire CIO. You know, I was thinking as you were talking before, a phrase that I've heard even now, like with our CIOs, is the answers in the room.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody in the room has gone through what you are potentially getting ready to go through. I mean, iron sharpens iron, Frank. I mean, we need one another to be better. Tell us some of the things that the CIOs can get involved in. Talk a little bit about the Orbeez, the national awards, if you would, and then we'll talk about a few other things.
This CIO leadership existed only in Georgia for about 15 years. And then, you know, Brian Shield, who was the CIO at the Weather Channel, one of the founding members of the Georgia organization, went to Boston, won a World Series ring in his first season, and then called me and said, hey, I've got this great World Series ring, but I feel like I lost all my friends. I'm still having to call all the CIOs down in Atlanta to collaborate and share ideas and best practices. Would you come to Boston and create a Boston CIO chapter? We didn't exactly know how this was going to go. And we thought, well, at least the guy with the World Series ring on his finger can take the blame for it if it doesn't work. We partnered with the Boston Business Journal. And then all of a sudden, the Boston CIO of the Year Awards was born. Then a number of prominent CIOs in that community who prior to the awards expressed great skepticism about this approach, said people in the South are not like the North and we're busy, there's plenty going on and I don't think this is a good idea, all of a sudden changed their mind and said, okay, well, this sounds different. We like what this is and we're going to be a part of it. And they discovered that, yes, indeed, the answer is in the room and there's no textbook for how to be a great CIO because everybody's making it up on their own. And they're putting the Legos together in unique ways to create value for their organizations. You know, once that organization started, then we expanded to the other 23 cities, now 25 cities total over the past 7 years. And it's been a wild ride. It's been really fun to see this thing work in so many places and to create so much value. I got a note from a Fortune 500 CIO just last week who said, thank you for creating Inspire CIO. It has made me a better CIO, and I'm grateful for the opportunities to give back and to inspire other leaders in our chapter. This summer, we are having our first ever national member conference and national Orbeez Awards in Atlanta, Georgia on July 27th, and where we'll honor the 48 national Orbeez finalists, as well as bring together about 200 Inspire CIO members from chapters across the country.
Well, I know the chapter here. Frank, there is something going on every month. So last week, there was an insider event at the St. Louis Zoo. I mean, there's a member breakfast coming up. McCarthy Construction here is going to host, I believe, in June. So I think it's wonderful that you've convened this, you know, for this group, because to your point, you know, oftentimes they don't get the recognition that they really deserve. I mean, without our technology, none of us are going to continue to be relevant, much less thriving, right?
There's a whole lot of hard work that happens behind the scenes to keep everything working. And the leaders and the teams that make that possible, you know, around the world, literally, are pretty incredible.
So you host all these events, you host these Orbeez Awards, and where does Orbeez come from?
When Jonathan Fry walked into my office in 1998 and said, we have this great idea, we're going to create the CIO of the Year Award, and we're going to present the first Georgia CIO of the Year, I said, well, go design a cool trophy, you know, and make it nice. And the team designed this stainless steel and glass crystal with rings around the top. And the orbits of the rings is what sort of defines the name of the trophy. Just like the Grammy is a gramophone, the Orbeez represents the orbits. And if you think about it, and people say this, you know, who's in your orbit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really nice trophy. It's a heavy trophy. So you do all these events. What do you do when there's a pandemic and you no longer can do these in-person events?
Well, that was a shock, right? You know, we had some big growth planned for 2020. And when you put everything on hold and realize like, hey, we've got to figure this thing out, I guess it pays to have a 20-year history in software development and IT consulting.
Yes.
Because that is a problem that needed to be solved. And as I like to say, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And I think back to my college days, and Jonathan and I actually are fraternity brothers going back to Stetson University, which is another interesting story. But I think back in college, we made actually like a race car out of a shopping cart, you know, because at least it had four wheels and it went straight and had a handle to push it. In a soapbox derby, I think that was where we started. It was something that already rolled. So we found a platform that had this table-based view of an event, and we found a way to federate video between tables. So it took us about 60 days to figure out a platform that we could hack and modify in such a way, because it wasn't designed to do what we did with it, and make something that was designed to basically show advertising in the top corner of the screen that would take, accept streaming video, and then make the center of the screen this video that everybody could see, and then these tables around the outside where people could have essentially a video call of six or eight people at your table. And then you could see who's at other tables through little icons and then move around that environment. And so we named that environment, that platform, Imaginate. And so Imaginate has been used not only to produce about 200 events during the pandemic, but continues to produce events. Now that we have distributed workforces and people, you know, working from everywhere, you still need to have team meetings. And the challenge with Zoom, which I love, and it's something I spend the majority of my time on, only one person can speak at a time. You know, it makes it very difficult for a large room to stay engaged, because people like to talk and they like to interact with each other. And so when you create an environment like Imaginate, where you've got tables of four, six, eight people, then you can see each other and you can have your individual conversations. And just like at a table in a big ballroom, you can be rude and talk during the program. You can, yeah, but you can all experience what's going on the stage, but then you can move around and talk to people, at least make side comments and say like, oh yeah, I'm glad this person won, or oh, I wish this person had won. You can interact and be very engaged with people at your table, or go to another table and enjoy an event together. And so that was a fun problem to solve.
Such a robust platform. I mean, we've been to several of those Orbi Awards through the Imaginate platform, and you can not only just move tables, you can move floors. It's almost like a convention center. There's floor one, floor two, floor three, you know, if you have a really large event.
Yeah, it's about 100 people per floor and about 1,000 people in the event. So there's 10 floors.
So I'm going to do a really quick little lightning round with you here, and then we'll talk about something extra. What have been some of your key leadership lessons that you've learned along the way?
Building a great team, you know, attracting and developing great people is going to be the key of any successful enterprise. And having a set of core values so you can communicate, you know, what's important and how you're going to operate, and delivering against those values is what makes teams work well. People are the key to any enterprise being successful. And so finding great people is absolutely paramount.
Yeah. Are there any things that you know now that you wish you'd known in 1993?
A consulting firm business was a great thing to kind of get started with, but you know, I was told at the time it's the young man's business. And it took me about 20 years to realize what that meant, which is that it can be exhausting. You know, when you have to hit the revenue odometer reset every year, and then having a business that has the ability to kind of stand on the shoulders of what you did the year before is a far better approach to making a bigger impact. You know, one of my favorite books from about 20 years ago called Blue Ocean Strategy, that became a book about this idea that, you know, you have a choice. You can exist in a red ocean where there's lots of competition, and then people usually resort to lowering prices and that becomes bloody water that's all red, or you can move over to a blue ocean where there is, you know, a different approach. And so I have been very interested in going to places where other people are not, and trying to try new things, or, you know, go to places and try things in different ways. I'm very uninterested in doing the same things that other people are doing. I'm very interested in doing something that's new and different.
Oh, I love that. And there's only about, what, 10,000, 12,000 companies like Intellinet and Technology Partners in the United States. So, you know, just a little bit of competition, right, Frank?
Yeah. But there are ways, like, as you've discovered, you know, by having a great network of relationships and being a trusted provider, you're going to be picked all the time over the low-cost provider because people trust you.
Absolutely. Yeah, trust is everything. So what is your definition, Frank, of success?
My definition is to be rich in relationships. To be rich without relationships sounds very tragic. To have everything you ever wanted, but then not to have relationships with your spouse or with your kids or with your friends or with your family would be terrible. And so it's far better to be rich in relationships and to be able to do life with the people that inspire you. So that's the advice I would give to anybody. And if you do what everybody else is doing, you're going to get what everybody else is getting. Find something unique to do, and you'll probably get some different results than everybody else is getting. And chances are it's going to be better.
And do it with people that you love, right?
That's so. Right. And if you do things you love and do it with people you love, you know, you'll never work a day in your life.
That is so true. One more question. How do you stay grounded and energized? Because this is not easy. I mean, being an entrepreneur or running businesses, it's not easy. How do you personally stay energized and grounded, Frank?
Well, my favorite activity in any business is either being with one of our team members where I'm in sort of mentoring or, you know, showing them what we do, or being with a room full of CIOs to build relationships and bring them together and kind of show them what's possible. Interacting with people is what inspires me. And so if I ever feel a little disconnected, it's probably because I'm working alone. So I would really prefer to spend all my working hours with people and coaching them or directing them or inspiring them with something I know that maybe they don't know.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. Well, I think you've already answered it, but I was going to ask you, what do you believe is the something extra every leader needs? And I think I probably know what you're going to say.
I think the answer is relationships. It kind of permeates everything, is find ways to be rich in relationships and do life with people that you love.
Very good. Well, Frank, one more question. What are you most excited about right now? Is there anything that's coming up or anything our listeners could get involved in? Obviously, if you're a CIO, you want to reach out to inspire. You know, I'm sure that they may have a chapter in your metro that you can get plugged into.
CIOs are busy and they have a lot of things coming at them and lots of things offered to them. But joining an Inspire CIO chapter is a completely different experience and approach to anything that most CIOs have ever experienced. It's member-led. It's non-commercial. And so the chapters only do things that the members want to do. So it's not a place where somebody takes the mic and blah, blah, blah is about things that may or may not be relevant to them. It's very much member-hosted events at places that you normally wouldn't have access to, talking about things you wouldn't normally hear about. And I think those inspire people. I'm really excited about our first ever national member conference, Converge 22, which is this summer in Atlanta, Georgia, and the opportunity to bring members from 25 chapters together for a couple of days. And we have well over 150 registered for that and room for just a few more. And that's going to be fun. And that event, parts of that event at least, are going to be streamed live in the Imaginate platform to all Inspire members. So those that can't make the visit to Atlanta will have the opportunity to experience that through a live Leadership Unscripted lunch one day with a Fortune 500 CEO, as well as the live Orby Awards, National Orby Awards on July the 28th, a Thursday night, July 28th. So that's what I'm excited about. And I think people will experience a CIO conference unlike anything they've ever seen before.
Ah, it just sounds amazing. I know it's going to be a fantastic event, Frank. Well, listen, thank you so much. I know how busy you are. So I just appreciate so much you taking the time to be on the Something Extra podcast today. I know that our listeners are going to just enjoy gleaning all of your insights and wisdom. It's going to help them on their own journey. So thank you for investing in people.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share my story. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.